All right, let's look back here in 1 Samuel. Now, I read there, you know Samuel was sent, Saul was sent to destroy the Amalekites. Destroy everything about the Amalekites. Destroy every person, every animal. Leave nothing whatsoever living. Nothing was supposed to survive. And the reason being was the way that Amalek had treated Israel when she came up out of Egypt. And God meant to punish them for that and judge them for the way they treated his people. But when Saul, back up here in verse 1, when Samuel anointed Saul as king, he said this, "Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Being king does not exempt you from obeying God. In fact, it puts more responsibility on you than anybody else. Hear the voice of the words of the Lord." And that's when God speaks in his word, it's his voice. When we have God's word, we're hearing the voice of God in his word. And he said, and then what he's saying is, listen to the words of the Lord. Heed the words of the Lord. Give heed to them. Our Lord Jesus said several times, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. And in Matthew 13, you know, there was four different types of hearers. They all heard the same word. They all had the same seed. One fell by the wayside, one fell in stony ground, one fell among thorns, and only one fell and brought forth fruit. So he says, take heed how you hear. And that's the first thing he told Saul. Saul, you listen to what God says. Well, God said, go down and smite the Amalekites. God gave him a specific commandment. That's what he told him. He said, you go down in verse 3 and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Slay both men, women, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. I want everything dead down there. That's what God said. Well, he didn't obey. He thought more of his own desires and his lust and the fear of the people than he did the voice of God. Back up here in verse 9, look what he says. But it said, listen to this, but Saul and the people spared Agag, he's the king, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the fatlings and the lamb, and all that was good. In their eyes it was good. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and wasn't worth anything, they destroyed. And I tell you what, hear him and the people. And because he failed to obey God, God took the kingdom from him. Took the kingdom away from him. He said, I tell you what, you didn't obey God. And so look what he said down here in verse 24. Now look what Saul said now. He didn't obey God. And that's why Samuel said, what's this mean as the bleeding of this sheep in mine ears and my oxen? And they said, he brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen sacrificed unto the Lord. And then Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. He just got through telling that he had obeyed the word, the Lord. God told him, no, you didn't. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because, now listen to this, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Feared the people and listened to them. Two things I want to look at tonight. What made him fear the people and what made him obey their voice and not the voice of God. And this, what it amounts to is he tried to please man. He had a man-pleasing heart. And he was afraid of being opposed by the people. That's why he says the people spared him. And the people spared Agag. And so he listened to the people. He feared the people. He feared these people. That's what he said. I feared the people. I feared the people. Why would he be afraid of the people? He's the king. as the king, afraid of displeasing the people, afraid of doing something the people didn't want done. As the leader, as the king, it was his responsibility to say, God said. The minute they said, let's spare this one, let's spare that one, let's spare this other, his responsibility as king said, no, 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 God said. But he listened to the people. He feared the people. And all he had to do was just stand his ground and say, no, we're going to do what God said. But he was afraid to stand his ground. He feared the people. And the Word of God is full of examples of this kind of leadership, where people was in a position of responsibility and in places of leadership and failed miserably. Look in Exodus 32. I know y'all know this story here. I know you know this one. And that's why Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, said, preach the word. Instant in season, out of season, for the time will come. Men will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers. And they'll have these teachers come in because they got itching ears and they want to hear something other than what God says. They want to hear something other than what thus saith the Lord. And that's what God told Saul exactly what to do. But Saul feared the people and didn't do what God said. Now look what it said here in verse 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain. He's up there getting the Ten Commandments now, getting the law. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. They had just come through the Red Sea. They had just heard all the firstborn die down in Egypt. They had seen God bring them out with a high hand. And then they said, make us gods which shall go before us. How do you make a God that'll go before you? If you make it, how can it move? How can it walk? How can it talk? How can it speak? As for this Moses, that's the way they said about him after a while. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what in the world's happened to him. Aaron said, give me your gold earrings and the ears of your wives, sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And they did. And look, and he received in verse 4 in their hand and fashioned that for a graving tool and made it a molten calf. Why didn't he say, Moses will be back down here? I'm not going to make you a golden calf. Golden calf didn't bring us up out of Egypt. A golden calf didn't save us. We took our earrings and took our gold and we made us a calf. That calf never saved us. That calf never went through and smote the firstborn. That calf never put the blood on the door. That calf never parted the Red Sea. And all that's what happened. And I tell you, beloved, he said there'd be a famine. Not for bread, not for water, but for the hearing of the word of the Lord. There's plenty of word, but to hear it from the word of the Lord. And I tell you what, a leader where God says, do this, must obey God. If the people are saying, turn from the right way. He knew the right way, but if a person is really a leader, one that fears God and fears the Lord more than they fear people, whenever God says, do this, he's going to do it no matter how many people say, well, this is to turn from the right way. This will work this way. Huh? And the people were saying to him, said, listen, don't kill that beautiful calf. Look at these blue dogs. These are the best sheep we got there. These sheep are better than the ones we got down in Israel. Let's save some of these. And why didn't that? So he turned from the right way and went their way. Saul knew the right thing to do. He had God's clear command. He should have said no, no, no to the people. But his heart wasn't in it. And I know this from experience, and every other preacher knows it from experience. Pastors that's been at it any length of time at all, they have opposition. They have people that oppose them. They oppose something that they've said. They oppose some decision that they make. They oppose something that they've said, something that they've done. And if he stands his ground, if they stand their ground, then their position as pastor is put on the line. And that's what Saul should have done. He should have said, listen, you fellas are doing the wrong thing, and I'm not going to partake of it. And that's what happens. And when we have opposition, you know, that's life. When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with people like yourselves. You know the biggest opposition I have? Me. Mm-hmm. Me. But there has been times when we have opposition. And we just have to deal with it as it comes. But we must stand. Those who are called in positions of the leadership must stand for what they know to be true. They must stand upon the principle of right and the principle of true. And they must stand upon it with great conviction, not with hardness and not with harshness. But Saul, he said, I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now I want you to look at something with me over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a... This 1 Thessalonians is right off after Colossians. And look here in chapter 2. You know, Paul said it this way. Do we persuade men or God? The answer's in the question. It's a rhetorical question. Of course, do we persuade God? We persuade men. We can't. What are you going to persuade God to do? He does things on purpose. And he said, and if we seek to be pleasers of men, then we should not be the servants of Christ. If our goal and our position and our preaching was set to please men and satisfy men and do what men want said and done, then what in the world, what we should be, we couldn't possibly be the servant of Christ if our whole life was made up in trying to please men. And you take 50 people out of 25 out of 50 people, they all got a different idea about something else, about some so many different things. Now, ain't that right?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But look what he said here in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 2, 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness. We never used uncleanness in our speech, uncleanness in our words, uncleanness in our appearance. And we certainly didn't use guile. We never used deceit. We didn't use guile to try to trick you. But listen to it. But as we were allowed of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our heart. Tries our heart. Oh my. My, my. And here's another thing about people trying to fear people. And when you got a heart that fears people, like he did here, the fear of man. Whenever you have people that oppose you, like these, he said these people opposed him and he said the people took them. The people spared them. They always believe they're in the right. They all people, no matter how much they oppose, they always believe they're in the right. Don't you know that when they made that golden calf down there in the wilderness, and they made that golden calf for Moses is up there in the presence of God, was up there 40 days and 40 nights. Don't you know when they made that golden calf, they thought they was doing what was right. This is the right thing to do. Huh? Moses is gone. Make us, since we can't see him, since we can't hear him, make us a visible idol, something we can see. So it'll help us to worship. And oh my, Saul was facing the same situation. The people said, and this is what you people do. They said, Saul, my goodness, look at this, all these beautiful animals. Why do you want to kill that sheep? Why do you want to kill that ram? Look at these beautiful calves here. Oh my goodness, they're just beautiful. They're beautiful animals. Good, oh, well favored animals. Why, don't kill them. I tell you what we'll do. We'll even take some of them up here and we'll sacrifice them to the Lord. We'll get religion behind it. We'll get rid of them. So they think they was doing right, but ended up doing wrong. Because Saul feared the people. Huh? And it seemed reasonable to them. And Saul listened to the people out of fear for them. Save them strong, healthy animals. That seemed like the right thing to do. But you know how many martyrs, countless martyrs. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Men, women, and children. Oh my. And then the Inquisition in Spain. Multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of martyrs have been sent to their death. And the people who did it swore that they were right. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sought after and trapped time and time again, trying to be trapped and trying to be tempted. And our Lord Jesus Christ was apprehended by a mob who thought they was right. In fact, our leaders told us we was right. Our Lord was crucified by religious leaders who believed they were doing the right thing. The right thing. And that's the thing about it. A man can be so convinced that he's right. And if everybody followed that fellow who thought he was right, then everybody that follows him will be wrong. It's like those men preaching the gospel this weekend. And this is the only thing I know that the Lord's people want, is they want the gospel and the man who preaches the gospel. I know that. And so Saul was afraid to face the people's opposition to what God told him to do. These people will oppose me. They don't want to do this. So I'll let them have their way. I'll let them have their way. Oh, it'll cost me my relationship with God, but I'll let them have their way. It'll cause me to disobey God, but I'll let them have their way. And you know, the second cause of this man-pleasing heart and fear of man is the love of the praise of men. Men love to be, they love the praise of men. Saul was so concerned about what others thought of him. Look over here in verse 30, chapter 15. Saul was so concerned about what others thought of him. When you love the praise of men, then you'll do whatever you need to do. Look what it said in verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned. I have sinned. He's talking to Samuel now. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Did you see what he said? He said, turn with me and honor me. Honor me. Honor me now. Before the elders of the people and before Israel. Do this so I can save face. So I won't look so bad. So I won't look like such a failure. So I won't look like God has done cast me off. Oh, he loved the praise of men. Honor me now. He didn't want to face the elders of Israel unless Samuel was there with him. Oh, he wanted to save face before the elders. And in his pride, he couldn't stand it when David received more praise than he did. Let me show you over here in chapter 18. You know, this man had some, he had some real problems. Chapter 18 and verse 6. Saul was concerned about what others thought of him. Now, we ought to have people, we want people to think well of us. We don't want people to think ill of us. We don't want people to think we're mean and ill and hateful and contrary. We don't want people to think that. We want to be well thought of. And we should be well thought of. We ought to live and honor one another and love one another and love Christ and be honest in our dealings and be honest with one another, be honest out in the world and have some integrity and some scruples. And we ought to be able to think well of one another. But there's a difference in thinking well of somebody and wanting to be well thought of and watch your reputation to be well thought of than to just turn around and want nothing but the praise of men and loving nothing but the praise of men. And look what happens here in verse 6. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 18:6, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now listen to this. And Saul was very wroth, or he is very angry, he is upset. And the saying upset him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed thousands, to a thousand. What can he have more but the kingdom? Oh, he hated it when he heard David being praised more than him. His pride couldn't stand it. And our pride, likes the applause of men. Oh, of course we do. Me and Paul Mayhem was talking the other day, George Whitfield, and you've heard me tell this before. George Whitfield was preaching one time. And he was saying, you know, they had their pulpits great, way, way, way up high. Because be up way above the people so they could hear them. They had to ascend their pulpits, big steps going up to them. And he was up there preaching. And he started down out of the pulpit. And this woman came running up to meet him and said, Mr. Whitfield, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. That's the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. And I want to be the first to tell you. He said, you're too late. The devil told me before I got to the first step. Ain't that about right? That's a, and that's, a, you know... And our pride locks the applause of men. Popular people. You know, you find popular people in this world, they have lots and lots of followers. And people won't disagree with them because they don't want to be on their bad side. And this is one of the things. Now listen, I'm not on Facebook and I don't have Twitter. I've never had a Twitter account. Never had any of those things. But you know the thing on Facebook now is how many friends you can get on Facebook. I hear them talking about that all the time. I've got thousands of friends. And then you get on Twitter and you have millions of them. And that, you know why people, what's the motivation behind that? What's the motivation behind having people want to follow you and listen to what you got to say and about your life and how good your life is and all that? What's the motivation behind that? I want people to praise them. Applause of men. It's a pride. And you know what our master said, and I want you to see this. In John 12:42. The love of the praise of men has kept multitudes from following Christ. And I know one particular preacher that I run around with for a long time. And we began to learn the gospel, and I was a five-pointer already. I understood a lot of things, and I rejoiced in it. I rejoiced, and he did too. But when it seemed it was going to cost him something, he was a popular preacher. Popular preacher. And he's the first one to take me to meet Henry Mahan. He went with me to meet Henry the very first time. But about 2 years after that, when he seen, I was starting to preach the gospel. Bruce Crabtree started to preach the gospel. And we made no bones about it, no fear about it. And churches were splitting up wherever we'd go because there's such a distinction in our message. But this preacher, this particular preacher, got up in some of the places we preached at and said, "I want you to know, I do not agree with Donnie Bell or Bruce Crabtree. I do not agree with those men. I want you to know that I do not agree with what they're saying. And I don't want to be identified with them." And me and that fella, he's the first one. And we was talking about the grace of God and particular redemption and sovereign election. Christ died only for his people. He took me to meet Henry in September 1978. He took me to meet Henry. And then gets up and says, "I don't want to be identified with that message." You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Look right here in John 12, 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Listen to it. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." That'd be an awful position to be in, wouldn't it? Huh? Oh my. Well, what in the world? And that's why our Lord says, you know, that's well-pleasing in the sight of men is an abomination in the sight of God. Well, what's the cure for this fear of man? What's the cure for this pleasing men? What's the cure from loving the applause of men? Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. No matter what anybody says, no matter which anybody goes, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Seek to honor Him. Seek to please Him. Seek to glorify Him. Seek to worship Him. Let men please, a man pleaser's always focused on self. And that was the root of the first sin of our parents. Satan told him, said, "Listen, you'll be wise. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And your eyes will be open." And so they focused on self and plunged the human race into sin. And I'll say this without any fear or favor. Any self-glory is vain. Any self-glory is vain. Now we're talking about for God. Any self-glory is vain glory. And so the cure is to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Keep our heart, keep our souls, keep our focus. As old Scott used to say, and Shirley said it the other day, he said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if our focus, if we had blinders on, where we couldn't see anything else around us, we couldn't watch the world, couldn't watch the things that go on in the world, wouldn't care about anything, but keep our eyes focused on Him and Him alone. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had them blinders?" Amen. Like an old mule does, you know. A mule, the only way he knows to go right is for somebody to pull his reins. Only way he knows to go left, somebody to pull his reins. And the only way we'd ever go this way or that way, for God to pull our reins. You know why we want to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the author of our faith. We don't have faith except what He gave us. Huh? He's the one that'll finish our faith. He'll bring an end to our faith one of these days, and faith will cease to exist. He gave it to us, and He'll see that it comes to an end, and it'll end looking at Him in the face, like just preach Sunday morning. They shall see his face. We're like the Apostle Paul. He said, I want to be found in Christ. I want to win Christ. I want his righteousness. And I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You start with Christ and you finish with Christ. And oh my, we live in a world that says, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me. And I'll tell you, I'll show you how awful all of us are. I'll just to give you an illustration. If somebody shows you a picture and you're in that picture, who's the first one you look for? And you'll either say, boy, that's a good picture of me. Oh, that's an awful picture of me. That's the way we are. We live in a look at me world. But you know, our world is not look at me. Our world is look to Christ. Look outside ourselves. Look away from ourselves. Look away from our flesh. Look away from everything that's worthless in us. And find everything that's worth anything and everything that's worth any value in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh my. That's why our world's different than this world. Look at me. Our world is look to Him. Another cure is to listen to what God says, not what man says. Huh? Not what men pleaser says. Oh, another cure is to listen to what God says. You listen to these preachers around here today. I'm telling you, all they're interested in is winning people and getting people to come listen to and tear down every barrier. You know what man's problem is? Man's problems, like Saul was, didn't have a right view of God. And if you get a right view of God, you will trust Christ and Him alone. And you'll not be afraid of man. You'll not be a man pleaser. And you won't love the applause and praise of men. You want God. You want Christ. And you want to worship Him and Him alone. And I tell you what, what in the world would, if God be for us, why should we fear what man can do? And if men praise you and applaud you, somebody asked me, was it you today that asked me about something, said, does that give you the big head? And I said, no, no it don't. No it don't. Listen, I've heard people brag on you, and I've heard people say bad things. Listen, the only thing, God is my witness, the only thing I'm interested in, and I'm sure you are too, and after you've lived a while, is what God thinks and what God says and my relationship with God in Christ. That's all that matters in this world. All the rest of it is just icing on the cake. The homes we have, the cars we have, the money we have, that's just icing on the cake. That's just making our pilgrimage here a little bit easier to go through. But even with all of that, we still stay focused on Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, blessed Savior, gracious, gracious Master, thank you for allowing us to speak tonight. Lord, don't let us be a man pleaser or loving the applause of men, the praise of men. Keep us, oh God, from such vanity and such foolishness and such frailty and things that would so dishonor you. Oh God, let our hearts, let our souls, let our very being be taken up with you. I know we fail you. I know we don't do it as we would love to, but Lord, it's in our heart to do it. God bless these saints of God. Thank you that they come out on this old rainy, rainy night. God bless them. Lord, encourage them and direct our steps in this congregation, in the way we go and the things we do. Leave us not to ourselves, to our own will or our own ways. Always let us look to you. Direct our steps. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll see you Sunday morning, God willing.